Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This episode of The Boob Show is brought to you by fans and listeners like you. Head on over to patreon.com/frogpants and support us today.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boob Show for June 25th, 2018, with Scott Johnson
and Brian Ebert.
Perfect.
But
man, oops, sorry. You have so much hair. It's like flopping around behind you. I love it. No, I did that on purpose.
I'm like the anti-Ibbit.
You're not Ibbit. You're done away. I do that
sometimes.
Away.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's totally fine.
I'll take that as a compliment. I like Brian Ibbit. He's all right.
I called him done away the other day, so don't feel bad.
No, please, man.
Equal time.
I know so many Brians. It's ridiculous.
It is gross. I noticed a lot lately. A lot of typos.
I didn't say it was gross.
Oh, okay. There's a lot of typos in the world that use Brian instead of brain. You ever notice that? People are like, "Oh, scientists have a new brain therapy breakthrough," but they spell it Brian.
So. Actually, I see a lot more often the opposite. I'll see like brain so and so, like brain Dunaway. I'm like, oh, thank you. I guess it could be worse because I'm sure yours sometimes comes out as Scoot, which is not nearly as complimentary.
Mm-mm. People call me Steve for no reason. I get called Steve.
Yeah. It's something with an S.
Mm-hmm. Starts with an S. Something some people just can't deal with it. I get it.
Sturgeon. What's your name? That's a real common
Steve
name, right?
Steve the Sturgeon.
Sturgeon.
Nailed it. That's exactly it. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. It's the it is the Boob Show. And like I said, it's me and Brian. And we're back to talk to you about video games. We did it last week. And by gum, we're doing it this week. Hey, Brian, I'm just going to dive right in. All right?
Wait.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
We got a Dave and Buster's downtown, by the way.
Oh, what? I had to drive like an hour to get to our Dave and Buster's.
It just
that's
opened.
Not fair.
It just opened. Did it open or it is about to open, I think. I can't remember. We were downtown this weekend, Kim and I doing stuff, and we were hanging around this place where we went to an art installation, and just down the road from that, big old sign saying, opening very soon, Dave and Buster's. Check it out, everybody. Rah. So
grab your wallets. Dave and Buster's coming soon.
Yeah.
Do you understand the Dave and Buster's economy? Have you figured that out yet?
No. How's it worked? Explain to me the Dave and Buster's
economy. Okay. So, the way I figured it out, I went to Dave and Buster's a couple weeks ago with my kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got there and I'm like, what weird thing is this? What do you mean? Does it take quarters or tokens? You have a card and it takes six tickets or something. I'm like, tickets is something you receive, not something you give.
Oh.
And so I started doing the math and how much it cost me and how much I'm spending. And if I just buy it straight out with no sales, none of that kind of stuff like that, it's about 20 cents per ticket.
Oh.
So I had to give that math to some of the kids because some of the kids were like, I got $20 on my card. Woo. And then 2 minutes later, I'm all out of money.
So wait,
and I'm like, gosh, because what's that?
So you buy.
You buy
that
cards.
That makes sense. Why do you? Oh, you buy cards and then you run the cards through the thing, right? Like,
right, and it takes off ticket points,
yeah.
And so, and those points cost so much. And you go up to a game, and it'll say on the thing, it'll say like, "Oh, this is seven tickets on average. That's the cost, Dave and Buster's." However, if you decide you want to play one of the big whirly gigs, step in and the ride of your life, it's like, you know, $4 a pop.
Yeah.
And so the kids weren't getting this. So it's like $20 card. Yeah. Like I said, back 5 minutes later, I'm all done. What else? Recharge the card.
We played two games, Dad. I don't understand. This card sucks.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
My card's broken.
I didn't know that. I didn't realize they had, I didn't know what they did because I've never had a Dave and Buster's in Salt Lake, but we're excited to finally get one. We have a long tradition in history. Tradistory? We have a long
tradition
in Salt Lake City of arcades. I mean, we had a billion of them when I was growing up, and they were all over the place. And then they slowly started kind of weaning themselves out and, you know, became less and less common. And Home consoles sort of took over and arcades suffered as a result and blah, blah, blah. There's the crash of 85, which really sent things spinning and then kind of made a comeback after that and then a little bit of a taper off. So now it seems like it's all down to like either big fat chain like Dave and Buster's or small little boutique-y places like that Nickelcade thing I go to sometimes, which we have here in town. It sounds like the Nickelcade, while focused on old games, is a lot cheaper than your Dave and Buster's scenario. Well,
don't get me wrong. Okay, so it's not really apples to apples because Dave and Buster's, if you go in and you order some food like you would get at a maybe an Applebee's or something.
Okay, is that the kind of food you get there? Because I don't know what you... I assumed it was like pizza and fries and crap.
No, it's better than that, but it's way better than Applebee's. That's a bad comparison. I'm trying to think of a better kind of on par, but it's kind of like a fancy... It's a nicer Applebee's, so they got these really nice food you can choose from, and if you choose a decent food, you can also get a package deal where you get like a $20 card, but you put it all together and it's like $24. So if you get $20 worth of arcade playtime, plus you get like, you know, what you'd spend like $13 at like Applebee's, it's actually not too bad. It's an okay deal. But when you just go straight in for video games and you buy the card, unless you get like the deal, because a lot of times they'll have the deals where you can get you actually get $40 in the card for $20. So you just have to
really? You get like a double dealy deal. That's pretty good.
Yeah, so if you walk in there unprepared, you can just spend some money.
Yeah.
You got to do your research.
Well, I appreciate that. This is good because I don't know. I don't know Dave and Buster's from Jerry and Jimmy's. I don't know. I don't know what they do there.
Less popular Jimmy's and Jerry's where they serve off-brand ice cream.
They do have so they're doing it pinball. Downtown. They're doing it in an area where at night I would worry slightly. Like in the day, no problem. Go on there Saturday. Great. Kids everywhere. It'll be great. But you go there at like Saturday at like, I don't know, 9 p.m. let's say, I might worry a little about this, just one little part of town that this is in. It's a little skeevy, a little sketchy, a little
like Doc Medpot says in the chat room, barcade, because that's what it kind of is. It's got food.
I
sit
like
down,
barcades,
and it also has a bar.
Yeah, I like barcades.
So you're gonna be kind of it's according to what you're going for.
Well, I went to a 1920s place. Like a speakeasy kind of thing this weekend.
Right.
Called Prohibition. I talked about
TMS
a little bit.
You do realize that speakeasies are, you know, like way long time ago.
Yeah, 1920s, man.
Did you get in your time machine and go to a speakeasy or is there like making a comeback?
They're just making a comeback. But here's what I thought was going to be cool about it. They had like secret room and you had to know the, you know, kind of who to ask to get in and all this dumb stuff. They kind of got a little theatrical.
I like that though.
But inside was just, you know, really great food, a bar if you're into that sort of thing.
Liquor made in a bathtub. It's great.
I was really hoping they would have those little penny arcade things where you and watch it in a little visor. And it was like, I guess that was mostly porn back in the day, but, or not porn.
Nickelodeons, right? Cause you threw a nickel in and you got to watch a little brief thing. Now, sometimes it was, like you say, burlesque kind of stuff, but they also had other things. Right?
Yeah, it was like dancing or, you know, a quick little, like a horse riding or something like that.
I'm watching a horse and I'm getting drunk.
So that bummed me out because I just thought, oh, man, you're going all, like, ancient in here. Why don't you do some of that? That'd be fun. And they didn't have any of that, so kind of bummed me out.
So that does kind of bum me out. But how much fun would you really have playing with a Nickelcade? I mean, it has all the charm of about 10 seconds.
No, you're right.
Right?
I'd have been over it by then.
Right.
There was a picture, a vintage photo on the wall of a guy with a really ancient camera, like old 1920s style, big long nose on that thing, big telescoping flash. Yes, that thing that's like collapsible looking. It looks like something Weird Al would play. And
you got to get behind like a little curtain.
Yeah, totally. They have one of those, but he was for some reason taking a picture of this girl who was just... He had the camera pointed at her crotch, and she had her dress pulled up. So it was just like guy taking a picture of her crotch, which I just thought,
the original upskirt that took like 20 minutes to set up.
Yeah, and she had to be in on the deal, right? She had she couldn't be some unsuspecting person on a subway.
No, there was no upskirts back then.
No,
back in the 20s.
So that was fun to watch. But anyway, it was a really good time. I had fun there, and I don't know why I'm telling you that. Hey, I'll tell you this though. I played a video game. And I'd like to tell you about it now here on the show. So have I told you about, well, okay, you've played Darkest Dungeon, right? That's the thing.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So if you've played Darkest Dungeon, then you know all about how that game's, you know, a kind of a roguelike, but it's also, you know, a dungeon crawler thing with a really cool, what do you call it, art style. And the voice actor's like, ruin has come to this family. And then, you know, everything just sucks in that world. And you're supposed to go in there and do all that. Well, Unfrozen Studios has answered the call for those who wanted to be on the other side of the conflict. That is to say, they wanted to be on the side that is the bad guys. So instead of you being the good guys all the time, hey, what if you were the bad guys? And that's right. Kind of the idea between of this game. So here's what you are.
Not the same developer though, right?
No. Very different developer. However, okay. they have decided to adopt a similar looking kind of game, and you'll in the chat room we'll see this shortly as the video gets to where I suspect it's going. There it is. It's, you know, guys lined up 4-on-4 on a screen. They take turns doing a turn-based D&D sort of move and attacking right. The other guy. It's not that hard-edged inky style that you're used to with Darkest Dungeon. It's different than that. So it does have its kind of own thing going there.
It kind of reminds me of like I don't know. It almost looks like like Buddha art, like you'd see in a Chinese restaurant. It doesn't sound right. It sounds almost like I'm going to go with something offensive, but. Does that make sense? All the lines are real smooth and
it's a good way to think of it. It's almost like a college game project in some ways, where it's like, right. Oh, you made a bunch of 2D rigs, and now we're going to move those 2D rigs around.
And we forgot to put any texture maps on it.
Kinda, it's hard to explain, but yeah, you're not wrong. It some of it gives you that impression. Now, it's mostly right. Main menus that give me that impression, or. The opening cinematic is pretty rudimentary, excuse me, but the actual gameplay I think actually looks really good. Doesn't bother me at all.
Lord of the Dead.
Yeah, now that's this dude, chat room. You're looking at him right now. This guy right here, he is this evil ultra villain guy from some fantasy world in the past. So it'd be a little bit like. Saruman or the Lich King, or just think of a big baddie in fantasy, fantasy stuff. And that's who this guy is. He's like the worst dude. And he's your boss, and you're trying to get his world back on track. So it really does feel like you're playing the other side of the faction or the other side of what is the fight in Darkest Dungeon. You're playing the bad guys instead of the good guys. There's a couple things
I like their impact damage ragdoll.
Oh, it's great,
motion.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, because it's very ragdoll-esque. You know, it's like boom, moving around now, jiggling, okay, and stop.
Yeah. One of the things that makes it kind of unique is you create your bad guys with parts and pieces from your enemies. So their hearts, their bones, their armor, their skulls, that sort of stuff. Ooh. So when you get back after a run, you're like, all right. Time to make a new zombie lady or a banshee or a lady with arrows. Can't think of her name. Oh, here she is. The Blade of Aratus. Her name is... Oh, the Bride of Aratus.
Are you a necromancer at all? I mean, are you kind of like...
It's kind of like that, Because everything you've got working for you, they're all basically kind of undead zombies.
Right.
It's the way I look at it. But anyway, you go into these fights. You take up to 4 with you. They got different abilities. One guy's tanky. You know, it's like the same old rules in most RPGs.
Right.
I like an arrow lady in the back. I like a little frontline sword man. I like, all that.
Arrow lady in the back.
Arrow
happens
lady
every,
in the back.
Every Valentine's Day.
That's right. I always look for arrow lady in the back. Then when you go into the actual fights, this is where it starts to look a lot like Darkest Dungeon. You get your guys all lined up there. Simplified interface, though. Map to keys, although the video I'm looking at has actually changed. It looks different than this now, but only slightly. Because it's still in early access, I should mention that. It's not coming out until later this year. And I'm not even sure the early access is available to people who want it to buy it. I think you have to... sent me this, is what I'm trying to say.
Right. Did you didn't kickstart this. Okay,
no.
So this is a Kickstarter project.
Right. I just requested a key... on like a third party key request site kind of thing. Right, right. And they sent me a key. But there's advantages to certain abilities you have with their front line. We just watched the skeleton, for example, chain pull one of their guys from third place to first place. And now he's the guy that's going to be in the most trouble up front. It's and again, Darkest Dungeon does this as well, but it has this really cool, fun zoom in, do the combat kind of action. But it has all these difficulty settings, but it doesn't have all that stress bull crap I don't like about Darkest Dungeon. Yeah. Now, some people are like, Scott, that's the point of Darkest Dungeon. You're supposed to have the stress. The whole idea is your little sword guy goes out underneath and goes, oh, shit, I don't like any of this. You know, he's supposed to be nervous, and that affects his... I get it. I understand that that's their point, and I understand that that is what true lovers of that game are into, but I don't like it. I want to just go down and fight is what I want to do. And I want to use abilities right. and smart tactical choices, but that don't have anything to do with my witch doctors feeling a little nervous this, you know, today. It's not a bad game.
He made a bad gumbo. Right?
Exactly. And I don't think this right. game exists without some of the trail blazed by that game. So, you know, that's an important game. I'm not diminishing it. I'm just saying what I want out of one of these games is not, you know, I don't want to feel stressed right. and I don't want my characters to be stressed. I don't want the one in the front who's normally taking all the damage to go, oh, my mother, and then go to the back because, and I can't control that. That's what happens in Darkest Dungeon. It's annoying.
Yeah.
So what other people see is like really innovative gameplay. I see as something that hinders me from wanting to play this game. So I would right. much rather play this kind of thing. Now, whether they can pull it off and make it as long-term interesting, that's yet to be seen. There's plenty to do and to mess with. But so far, I like it. It's just a, you know, turn-based 2D, 2.5D tactical turn-based strategy game.
These bad guys kind of like remind me of like He-Man characters, but steampunk.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, it's I'm seeing this one guy. He's kind of short and he's got a flamethrower. He kind of reminds me of Ram Man. Remember that guy?
Ram Man, yeah. No, Ram, dude.
He'd squat down, then it's like come flying at you. Whee!
Yeah, who can forget Ram Man? Ram Man's pretty awesome, actually.
Right. Curious Wicked in the chat room says, thanks for the recommendation, we can't play.
I realize that's not what this show's about necessarily, but I get it. I understand that you guys want to get your hands on it. It looks like it's coming close. They're getting real close to it. It's much advanced right. even beyond this video I'm showing people, but they sent codes out to people. That's where I got it, and they were very nice to do that. But I like it a lot, and I'm going to keep playing it, and I can't wait for it to be actually released because I think a whole lot of other people will like it as well.
Right.
So go check it out. It's a what do they call it? Erastus? Yeah. No, Erratus.
Erratus, yeah. Ratatouille, Lord of the Dead.
That's it.
No, it's right. Erratus, Irratus, yes. Lord of the Dead. It's on Kickstarter, and it looks like most of the fulfillments would be in October if they come through 2018.
It sounds like that'll be right around the time. But it looks like right, it's legit, like legitimately close to being done. Now, I didn't back the Kickstarter. I didn't even know about it. I just saw it on this right. on this thing I use for requesting keys, and I was like, oh, that looks cool. And it showed up. And at first I went, oh, what are we, Darkest Dungeon ripoff Junior here? What are we playing here? And then I got to play, right. and I'm like, oh, no, this is cool. This is different. This is a different kind of take on it. So if you like D&D, you like turn-based stuff, watch for it, I guess. Erratus, right. Lord of the Dead, coming soon to a thing near you. Brian, you played Guardians Probably of the good. Galaxy Episode 1. That is not the movie. It is the game. How is it?
It was the game. Well, if you've been alive at all this past week, everybody's having a summer sale. And you know who usually kicks that off is Steam because they've done it so successfully in the past. PlayStation, you know what? They said, hey, we want to get on this action. So they're having some sales as well. Guardians of the Galaxy, the Telltale series, I think is more than 50% off because it's usually like $19.99 for episode one, then $5 for each episode after that.
Yeah.
This one was $6.99 on the Play Store. What do they call theirs? I do it through Plus. I don't know if you'll get it that cheap. That's how much I got it for.
Yeah.
But it's not like the movie. So if you're a big Guardians of the Galaxy fan movie and you don't really read the comic books, this kind of skews a little towards the comic book series. There's still a little pull from the movies and stuff too, but the characters are more like you would see in the combo.
Well, this Star Lord doesn't look anything like Chris Pratt. I'll say that.
No, nothing like Chris Pratt. But he does have a little bit of attitude like Chris Pratt, because you can't really get the feel of, you know, motion in a comic like you can in the movie. So a lot of the personality motion traits are there. Of course, it's a Telltale game, and they've got their own style. You know, you've seen the style of those guys. If you've seen one, you've seen them all.
Right.
This uses what is it called? It's when you do an action or
quick,
an action
quick
event
time,
in
quick
this
time
story
event.
Driven. Right, right. So it's like, you know, it's a very story driven story, as Telltales usually do. And you do this, you have to watch for 3D motion tracking cues. So, you know how when you go to the movies and somebody, they'll throw a credit up and it's like on somebody's head and it'll rotate around their head. You know, they got that 3D motion tracking stuff going on.
Yeah.
Well, the same thing here is, you know, like if you have to hit the X button during a certain time when something's going on screen, I sometimes find it difficult because I'm a moron to hit the X button because I don't see it, because they'll stick it on, like, on, you know, they'll stick it on Star-Lord's arm. And I'm like, I'm sitting there watching the scenery, you know, just looking at the stuff. And I'm like looking at Rocket Raccoon in the background. And there's a big X button on Star-Lord's shoulders going, hit the X. And I'm like, I totally missed the event. And then, of course, I'm screwing the storyline up because then I die and I have to start over again.
Is it that same engine, like the same Telltale engine yes. We played every damn game in for the last 50 years?
I don't know if it's the exact same engine, because I've played some more recently. I think, what's the last one I've tried to play? I think I really dug in deep on the Back to the Future one. It didn't feel the same, but it felt the same, if you know what I mean. And you probably don't, but I'm going to talk like this and pretend like you did. Okay. So it's, yeah, the, you know what? I like the game. I'm not going to complain about the game because I actually like it. I've been out of the Telltale games for a while because I got kind of bored with them. There were so many for a while. There was just like back to back to back. And I was just like, you know what? I've done this enough. And I got into this, and I got it on sale, and I had a lot of fun. The story, the dialogue is, you know, is upbeat, humorous. The choices you get to choose, Star-Lord, those characters are fun to play. And it reminds me, the biggest thing I remember thinking while I was playing this game was, why do people bitch so much about the Star Wars reboots and stuff? Why is everybody so angry? And they want to, like, it's like, just go do something else. Be okay with the fact that Star Wars is headed in this direction. Just let
Here's why. Here's why.
And then go enjoy stuff like Guardians of the Galaxy, who are just, in my opinion, killing it.
Yeah, well, look, people are more into toxic fandom than they are the things they're fans of, so F them.
Yeah, that's kind
of
true.
They're just loud and annoying.
If you're fans of Guardians of the Galaxy, thank God there's no hard concrete lore that anybody's freaking out about. So I have enjoyed interacting with people on the internet about Guardians of the Galaxy Episode 1 from Telltale, because, like I said, it's just not all that toxic bullshit that you just seem to get when you play like a Star Wars game. There's so many expectations.
Well, that's not a good point. But this is very much, you're right about the look of it. It's very comic. I'm watching them fight Thanos right now. This is not MCU Thanos. This is chunky, kind of squat, fatty looking comic book Thanos.
He's scary, but also kind of comical.
Yeah, no, it's great. And Drax is way more movie or comics. Drax, certainly this Groot is way old school Groot.
Oh, the Groot is bad A, because, you know, we got kind of a cutie Groot in the movie, but this is old school. You're like, oh man, why is he just not kicking Thanos' trash? He's a tree.
Yeah, yeah. Rocket looks about the same, so, because he's a raccoon, and that's pretty much what you do every time.
They do some of the inflections like the characters in the movies, because there is actual spoken dialogue, so you'll get a little bit more kind of an impersonation.
This is a whole lot of quick time event gameplay. I don't know if I love that.
That's the, well, you know, there's less than I've had in past Telltale games. There are I think there's a good balance here. Usually if it's got to be just enough to be between not letting me forget that I'm playing a game. Because if you if you're telling so much story and so much exposition that that when something does happen, I'm like, hey, whoa, 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 you know, then you've gone too far. But it seemed like a really good pacing in this one. It seems like by the time I get kind of into the story and it's starting to make me feel a little bit for the characters, there's an action and an event, and it brings me back into the game. And so it's, I think it's well paced.
Well, I played the Batman game from top to bottom, the one that came out just before this. It was right before this, and it had a lot of that same kind of stuff. A lot of the action scenes were all just like move A, hit A quick, hit X at the same time as you did the thing. I know that that's how, and someone in the chat reminds me, this is how Telltale games are. I know that. I get it. I'm saying, aren't we a little tired of that? You know, like, isn't there a better
way? I was, but I skip. Maybe it's one of those, maybe Telltale games are kind of one of those things where you have to skip, like, skip every other one. Because it's like, if you play it back to back, if you just got through playing Batman, you might not want to play Guardians of the Galaxy unless you're a big fan. I had skipped Batman, and I landed right into Guardians of the Galaxy, and it feels good. And I'm probably going to get episode 2 and play it and see if it was as good as the first one. They really captured the first one, but sometimes it's how it is with the Telltale games. The first ones are so phenomenal. You gotta, I gotta get the next one. Yeah. I gotta get another one.
Right.
But I love that universe anyway. I was a big fan of Nova and Nova Corps back in the day, and then it led into Guardians of the Galaxy, and I loved all that stuff.
Yeah.
Loved it all.
I like it too. The Marvel Cosmic Universe, totally goofy and fun. I enjoy it.
It really is.
All right. There you get it. How much did you pay again? What was the deal? On MSN or PSN?
I think I paid $6.99 for it.
Oh,
yes.
Geez, that's
PSN, $6.99.
That's pretty good. It's not bad.
As of today, 6/25/2018.
All right. Not bad at all. Mm-hmm. Well, I also played a game that is in very early access called Fractured.
And you'll never get to play it. Well, ever, ever.
This is why I say this, because somebody in the chat's probably going to be like, I can't play that game either, but it is called Fractured Lands. Now, I'm not going to actually show anything, but I'm going to show a little bit of the gameplay trailer that they released, because I think there's an embargo on actual, like, you can't show yourselves playing it.
Yeah, it's a closed beta right now. So
yeah. So I got the copy of this thing. This is just their trailer. It is, imagine Mad Max, or no, imagine a Battle Royale game in the vein of, you know, Player Unknown's Battlegrounds or something like Fortnite or whatever. Imagine that, but set in a very Mad Max world. And by that, I mean completely just like thrashed world. Cars are garbage, except everyone gets a car when they start, which is great. The guns are made out of like parts, old parts of stuff. And it's pretty cool. Like the city, you're in the city, it's all slammed. I think my favorite thing about it is the, you know, in these other games, it's like a big blue circle that slowly creeps in until, you know, one guy's left.
Yeah.
They all do that. This game does that, but it's this huge storm that continues to encroach on the space. So graphically, it looks like a giant sandstorm, like in Fury Road, just slowly making its way. And there's a giant twister the size of, like, I mean, you keep seeing it in this trailer, but that huge twister storm way off in the distance. Yeah. It's really, really cool.
That is great. It kind of takes me out of the game when that happens. It's like this, because you imagine like there's some kind of omnipotent creature that is slowly bringing everything in. But with this feels natural.
Yeah. Yeah. There's something about it that is really jiving with me. And I think
Mad Max 5.
It's very Mad Maxy, like straight up, like very Mad Maxy. I'm not great at it. I ran out of gas during my first playthrough. I didn't understand the car mechanics, so I ran out of gas, but I was able to kill a couple of dudes and then got myself killed, and I ended up, like, I don't know, 25th out of 100 people that were there.
Nice.
But it's pretty good. They just started the closed beta June 8th, so I think you can still sign up for this over at fractured-lands.com. Fractured-lands.com. And like I say, it is totally Mad Max Battle Royale. That's the game. And they do a really good job of representing that. It's good so far.
Yeah, this looks good.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
this
cool.
Looks so beautiful.
It's like it really is like they made it. It's the Battle Royale game I'm most interested in right now. Big shock, I know.
Right.
But I like the tone of it. I like the setting a lot, to the point that this is probably where I'll spend a bunch of time when this comes out. So go check it out. And they're still taking beta sign-ups. I had no problem getting into games, so there's tons of people playing the beta. Just getting
I just signed up. Let's see what happens. Check my email now.
Yeah.
Let's see how desperate these guys are.
Yep. I like their logo. Their U looks like the way the U is cut is a baseball bat with nails in it. Like,
oh, that's cool. Yeah. I see what it means now. Yeah, the U and the fracture.
Yeah, do you
it
see
looks
that?
Like, yeah.
Isn't that cool?
I like the art style they got going on, too. This promotional artwork looks fantastic. Yeah. Who's the artist that did that?
I don't know, but I like it a lot. I think they're doing a good job.
I'm seeing a lot of talent here, so yeah, I have high hopes for this.
I will stream the hell out of this one, but I don't think they let you right now. I think it's closed beta.
Well, I've seen some animated GIFs. That's about all I've seen.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I think you can't stream or YouTube it right now. I think
probably not. That's okay.
Anyway,
we'll record all of it offline, and then the day releases with us like here it is.
Yeah.
Ha ha ha.
Tell me about Bear With Me. I hope a game where there's a bear with you.
Bear with me now, because it's spelled like a bear, B-E-A-R, with me. Okay, so you know what? I didn't have enough of my Telltale episodic adventures, so I decided I would play Bear With Me. Actually, I started this game first before I did the Guardians of the Galaxy thing. I picked this up in the Humble Monthly Bundle. I think it was this past month, actually. And it's an indie game, and it is a episodic noir adventure game.
Point and clicker, kind of click around and find
it's
a thing.
It's a point and clicker. Absolutely, you just solve puzzles. You go around, you point and click until you discover the story, and you click on the right thing, and ta-da, accomplished goal. Next. But the fun thing about this game is it is a noir telling. So it is black and white all. Gray tones, so it's like watching a black and white movie, which is good because the subject is your bear and a little girl named Amber, and the bear is a retired detective teddy bear. Okay, wait, he's not a real detective.
Why is all the text in Comic Sans? Can you tell me that?
But you know, look, this game, I'm gonna tell you something about this game.
All right, go ahead.
This game shines, and it also it fails at certain points. It's mostly a really great experience, but yeah, things like Comic Sans, it's a sign of mature game developing. They've got some really great raw talent. And even the dialogue was one thing that took me a little time to get over, which is bad in a really dialogue heavy adventure game like this. But the reason what they were going for was that, you know, the old school detective noir films where, you know, the dame walked in and she looked like this and that and, you know, that whole vibe. Mm. So that's what the bear is. He's like that old school retiring detective. And so he's always doing that long exposition, which can be good or it can be very boring. Mm. And in some of the point and clicks, some of the times I was like, I don't care what you're saying, Bear. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. And so I would click really fast and kind of move through the story just so I could get to the puzzle parts. Mm-hmm. The little girl was a little more interesting. I liked her character better so far. So far, saying I've only played through episode one. By the time I got to the end of episode one, it was much better. It was like the dialogue had tightened up some, and it was just, it seemed to be flowing a lot better. And I hear part two and three are even better than the first one. But basically, you're Amber. You wake up in your room, and there's a stuffed giraffe nanny there. That's right, a stuffed giraffe nanny.
I saw
that. She's kind of alive. But only in a child's imagination kind of way. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So there is a point where she becomes just a stuffed animal, and you're walking through your house as this character, Amber, to fulfill the story. And you got Teddy Bear, who is going along with you, and he's helping you solve the mystery. The mystery is your brother has disappeared, and you don't know where your parents are.
Hold on. Is his name Teddy? That's really his name?
Ted E. Bear.
Okay, I hate that. Go ahead, though.
It's not a totally original idea. It's like I said, it has a lot of raw talent, and this is just episode one. I can't say if the second and third episode are better, but I've read some pretty good stuff. It's got very positive reviews on Steam. It was released in 2016. It's been around for you know, a little while. But I, like I said, I kind of muscled through it at the beginning because I'm like, well, I'm invested now. I've already played an hour into this game. I'm invested. And so I muscled through the rest of the first episode. And by the time I got through, there was some really interesting things happening, some really dark turns, which I love dark turns. Sure. And by the end, I was like, okay, yeah, I'm ready for the next one. And the good thing is, since I got this in the Humble Bundle Pack, I got the Collector's Edition, which comes with the soundtrack, some artwork from behind the scenes. By the
soundtrack
way,
good? It's a good sound. Like, you like the music?
It's not like, oh my God, this is the best sound, but it certainly will put you in the mood for a mystery.
Well, here's a taste story of it. I'll play a little bit.
The Nightmare.
Yeah.
Here we go.
I don't really remember. That's all right, miss. Nightmares are best forgotten. I guess you're right.
That's not music.
What are you doing here, Millie?
Let's try this.
No, it's not.
Let's see here.
That's not really music either. It's very quiet. There's not a lot of music throughout the game. There's
Hi,
a lot of
time Ted. I heard you've retired, but...
Cut the ceremony, doll. I ain't doing it.
Like I said, when I was playing it, the dialogue was killing me to begin with. Yeah. I'm like, this is killing me. It's killing me. And there are reviews where people say, nope, couldn't do it. Yeah. Couldn't do it. Yeah. Too important to me. Dialogue and voice work, too important to me. And it does, it felt like they did this very linear, and it felt like they took themselves very seriously in the very beginning. And then when they started loosening up and just kind of telling the story, mm-hmm. it felt a little more fun. Right. And I got into it.
All right. So
don't let the very first, you know, little bit of this game, if you do get it, turn you off. But I think it's on sale now for like $6.98 for the collector's edition on the Steam summer sale. So I mean,
well, that's hard to pass up at that price. If you like adventure games, why not pick it up?
Adventure games. So yeah, it's a lot of fun. I do like the character Amber, and there's some really interesting mystery things that are going to be told. I kind of know where some of us go into, but we'll see. But it's, you stay in the house even though you go to Paper City, which is actually just a town that's in the attic. And when you first approach it, it looks like a kid has taken, you know, a bunch of papers and cardboard boxes and built this city up. And then when they actually go into it, then you go into Amber's imagination, and then you're in a really big city. Mm. So, like I said, it's got a lot of raw talent. I like it.
Okay. In the rough, you're saying. In the rough, diamond in the rough.
In the rough. Yeah, these guys, I think these guys will get it. And I think by episode 2 and 3, I think we'll really enjoy myself.
Chat room, specifically Bagheera in the chat, says it reminds him of this noir episode of Star Trek The Next Generation when Captain Picard was playing that what's his name, and he said a line like this.
Don't listen to him, Gloria. He's lying.
It wasn't loud.
Don't listen to him, Gloria. He's lying.
That's so bad.
It is. Ugh. It was a simpler, it's a much simpler time, and you do have to bend yourself just a little bit to be able to get into the experience, especially in our cynical modern age. But if you can roll yourself back just a little bit and kind of just lean into it, it becomes entertaining.
All right. Well, I have also been working very hard to beat Assassin's Creed Origins before the new Assassin's Creed Odyssey comes out. I love that game, and I don't know why I fell off of it. It just got busy. Like, that was the Mario month. That was a bunch of stuff last year. And then, you know, a million games come since, and I'm like, oh, I got to get back to Assassin's Creed, and I haven't done it. But I had felt very strongly like Assassin's Creed Origins was not only the best in the series, but really, really just spoke to me from a setting standpoint and a vibe and everything. I just love everything about ancient Egyptian stuff and that whole place, just dunes and pyramids and all that business, super cool. And so it was just a matter of time before I got back to Origins.
Right.
back to Origins.
Back to the origin, if you know what I mean.
And tried to, you know, spend some more time with it so that I could be a little more prepared when Odyssey comes out. Now, Odyssey is not...
Isn't that funny? Does that ever really benefit you? I do it all the time. It's like, well, I've got to get back and play that first game because I got to get ready. I got to get my appetite wet.
Well, it definitely feels like it's not so much appetite wet. I just feel like, well, I bought this game for $50. I really enjoyed when I was in it. Then I kind of got lost and forgot about it. And I'm like, I just want to, I need to be reminded how cool this game is. And sure enough, game's awesome. So I'm going to play it and beat it before the other one comes out later this year. And right now it's kind of my focus single player game. I'm going to keep it this thing until I have successfully traversed it.
How long to beat on AC Origins? Have you looked that up?
Oh, I have no idea. Look that up, actually. I'd be very curious about that because I'm sure you could mainline the story and rip through it in 10 hours or something. But I'm doing every piece of secondary content, all the side quests, all the mini quests.
It says main story. This is according to howlongtobeat.com, one of my favorite resources for how long it takes to beat a game. It says the main storyline is, which for this one says for the Xbox One, but I'm sure it's across the board.
It's the same,
main story is 27 hours, main plus extra, 47 hours. If you're one of them completionists, 77 hours.
Yeah, that's about right. What do you think? That's about right.
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
how many hours do you think you got in so far?
Oh, I've easily gone more than, I don't know, probably 15 or something in it. And I'm not even near done because I've spent a ton of time on side content. And a lot of times I just spend time like out exploring and dinking around and finding a new place and, you know, talking to new characters and whatever, whatever. But if you are at all an Assassin's Creed player and you played it back in the day and you're like, I don't know, man, Origins, I don't know if that's for me. It's such a great time to come back to it. For example, if you liked The Witcher, this game lifts a whole bunch of really good ideas from The Witcher.
Right.
It's more of an RPG than it's ever been. You get loot. It's random loot. You can upgrade the gear you have, like a little more of a gear focus. The control scheme completely changed. The way that they do character abilities has changed. And you can buy all these, like, I almost said donkeys. You can actually buy a donkey. I have a donkey. So you can get donkeys and horses and camels and all kinds of cool stuff to ride once you get enough money to buy them all. So you can kind of have a collect everything sort of attitude if you want. The bow play, like this brings the bow back to the game since a very long time ago, is awesome. I love working with a bow. The only thing I'd say I miss about Syndicate was the one before this one in 2015, which I also quite liked. For different reasons, but Syndicate had a grappling hook that was badass. You could grapple anywhere. This does not have a grappling hook. It's also set in a totally different thousands of years before time area. So I'm not expecting everything to move over every time there's a new Assassin's Creed, but it's cool. I'm not telling anybody anything they already didn't know. This game's been out 6 months. People are already playing the hell out of it or have beaten it, but I am back to finish this and I really dig it. Assassin's Creed Origins. Probably get it cheap right now. Actually, I don't know if it's part of the sale right now. Isn't there some sale on Ubisoft stuff? There could be.
Yes, they've been selling a lot of the Assassin's Creed. It's been on sale. Let's pop over here to Origin.
Yeah, do that. I'm going to play.
No, not Origin.
What's that? Who's that?
This guy's going to assassinate somebody. Here he comes. He's getting too close. Get him. Going to grab him. Shank him.
What?
And then he shanked him.
And then you hit
just like
triangle, and you go, now, see, in the early goings, he only knocks his opponents out. In the game later, he shivs him in the neck with a knife. Because this is Origins, see, he doesn't know how to kill people yet. It's just knocking them out in the beginning. It's a good game. I really like it. Although that guy should have totally seen that dude. I don't know that just happened. But anyway, it's great.
Right.
It's great. It's got all the things you like about Assassin's Creed that were always good about it. And then they toss in a whole bunch of other cool stuff. The Animus really has no function here anymore. I mean, there's a couple of scenes, but it's not that big a deal. Like, who cares about the Animus anymore? The Animus is stupid. And if you like doing, like, you know, creep around, stealthy, take a guy out kind of gameplay, it's amazing. At the very base level, if you just want to hang around ancient Egypt, it's really cool. Oh, and as a free update, they put out this... this mode, it's basically an exploration mode, like an educational mode. And some schools are actually using this. This is crazy. I was hearing about a local school doing this. In this mode, you just walk around famous places in Egypt and they have like commentary where it'll say, this pyramid was built in the year 100, you know, BC.
Oh, yeah. I was reading about that. So
it's really cool.
Is that VR at all? Am I getting that confused?
No VR that I'm aware of. I don't think there's any VR, no. Well, maybe there isn't. I just didn't know it. Maybe somebody hacked it, right? But who knows? But It's super cool. I dig it. And I'm glad to be back in it. Sometimes I also enjoy these games more when I'm out of the hype window, because you got the release date and the release time is like, oh, this game, you got to play it. And everyone's freaking out all the time about whatever game it is. Sometimes it's nice to just give yourself some space and then come back to it when nobody's talking about it. And then you're like rediscovering it. It's just, I don't know, feels good. I like that. The discovery tour, that's what they call it. That's right, Doc Medpot. Yes.
I think I've been bit too many times by Assassin's Creed, and I always have to go rent it first from the Redbox.
Really? What bit you? What sucks in the past for you? Why was that?
I end up, when I say bitten, I'm not saying it's their fault. I'm saying that sometimes I play this a little bit. I'll play 8-10 hours tops, and then I just kind of go, and I never come back to it. Mm. And so that's perfect for a rental, because I can get a rental for 3 days for $750, and that's about 8 or 10 hours worth of my time. And then I don't have to sit there and go, why did I spend so much money on you?
Perfectly legit way to consume your games.
Ah, yes.
I don't have a problem with it. But I've never had an Assassin's Creed I didn't really, really like. Now, that doesn't mean I played them all.
Right.
I didn't play one, and I heard one was weak, but it was a cool new game. So people bought it and it was successful, and that's good, because two was amazing. That's where I jumped in. Two was incredible. I loved every second of two, and I really liked Brotherhood, which came after two. It was still set in Italy and was still part of two, but it was like a separate game. That was fantastic. Brotherhood,
I think,
amazing.
I played almost all of that. All the time.
Oh, it was so good. And it had that great multiplayer mode that I wish was still there. And then I didn't play Revelations, which was the third of that trilogy set in Italy, and I heard that was a bit of a bummer, not a great game. Then I got really stoked about 3, because it was set in the American Revolution. That seemed crazy cool.
I did too. I got so excited about it, but I didn't play it for more than just a minute.
Yeah, that was poopsker. Then came Black Flag, still... Previous to Origins was my favorite.
Yeah.
Black Flag was amazing.
I still like Black Flag.
Yeah, Black Flag is great. You're a freaking pirate, dude. It's the best. All that boat stuff, it was great. And up till now, that was my favorite. I think Origins is better. But anyway, there was Black Flag. Then there came that, what was the one in France that nobody liked because it was so janky? people were mad because it was mostly just kind of busted. It had technical problems at launch.
Right.
It was called...
It's called
France, your pants. Unity.
Oh, Unity,
so,
yeah.
Unity comes out. That thing's broken. Like, your guy suddenly is just a skeleton talking for no reason. Like, weird stuff was happening in that game. So I avoided Unity given all of its problems. It was the first game in the new generation that was, built for that generation. So PS4, Xbox, and so on, we're just kind of struggling with it. The PC version had all kinds of janking problems. So I avoided it. I'm sure they got it fixed up by the end because they're pretty good about sticking by their stuff, but I just didn't play it. 2015 rolls around, played the hell out of Syndicate. I think Syndicate was awesome. Really good. Set in industrial era London. You're freeing orphans from slave labor. It was great. I loved it. Great game.
Nothing like a game of freeing orphans from slave labor.
Yep, and you're hopping between...
That should be its own mini game.
Hopping between dude and lady, because you're sister, brother, and you can be one or the other anytime you wanted in the game. They were separate characters. That was cool. Then they took a year off. No game in 2016. Yeah. And then end of 2017, this one, Origins. I think this is the best game they've ever made. I hope Odyssey lives up to it, because sometimes they have trouble with the one after the good ones. You know what I mean?
Right.
They'll make a great one, and the one right after that is a problem. I'm not going to say that because I don't know, but that's been the pattern. So they may exceed
PC
my expectations.
Or PS4 for you?
The one I'm playing is PC. I got it on PC. Right. So I'm playing that in 4K, 60 frames per second. It looks incredible.
Excellent.
Yeah, I don't have a single complaint about it visually. And like I said, and I know people listening to this are like, oh, this is an old game, Scott. Yes, it's 6 months old. I understand. I'm just telling you.
You just can't win, Scott. You talk about games that haven't come out. You talk about games that came out over a year ago.
Yeah.
When are you going to win?
You can't. There is no winning. It's all losing from here on out. Assassin's Creed Origins, get it now. Tell me about Cats for Google Play. That's a mobile thing. What's that?
It is a mobile thing. It's cats, spelled just like you think, C-A-T-S, but there's little dots in between each of those because what you're really playing is Crash Arena Turbo Stars.
Mm.
But guess what? You do get to play as a badass cat. So this is a mobile game. Got it on the Google Play Store. I think, yes, free. It's ad and microtransaction sponsored. That's how you get along. Do you ever play? You ever watch? What's the on Comedy Central when they used to do the Battle Bots? Remember those?
Oh yeah, this is on iOS as well. I think I played this.
It's Battle Bots,
the video game. You're right.
It is Battle Bots, the video game. However, it is kind of a little bit. If you're ever a Boy Scout and you played slot cars, you know those wooden cars and stuff. That's where you start at with these cats. You pick your cat, and then you get some slot car like creations. And you get a little wooden body. There's different shapes of wooden bodies. And each one of those wooden bodies, based on a shape, when you go against, you hit your little button and it battles. And you have you against another player, and they're real players. And they go towards each other until they ram into each other. And then whatever weapons you may have is unleashed upon the other character. Mm-hmm. And if, like, let's say some of those cars have, like, nose down ramps, and you may have like a nose up kind of car, and when you come up to them, you'll hit and you'll roll upside down,
right?
And that's a real pain. You don't want that. So that really is like BattleBots. That was always the thing about BattleBots. It was like, which is gonna win, the spinny robot or the chopping robot or the hammer robot? Just a great idea about doing battles. You pick a form of battle, and you go in and you do it.
I like that you kind of have to experiment, figure it out. I played this a bit when Ibbot recommended it on TMS once.
And
I thought, all right, I'll try this out. Yeah, we do these app recommendations on Thursdays or Fridays, I guess now. But anyway, I went and tried it. And my favorite part was like, all right, well, that went okay. But what if I put a big razor blade on the front?
Yes.
And let's see what that does. And then, you know, you'd keep...
Most of the stuff I'm doing right now is wooden stuff, and so I'll have like each slot car, by the way, you get has power ratings, so it can accept so many weapons on its body structure based on its power rating, and there's little gears on the bodies, and what you do is you attach your weapons to those gears, but when you earn these bodies through loot boxes or other random ways, those gears will be in different locations. And so you may luck out and get one with a really cool location for a gear on the front. And that's important because if you have some weapons like a chainsaw, it's really short. And so if you don't have a gear on the front of the body that you're putting it on, then it won't reach the other guy, right? So there's all kinds of configurations. It's partly about luck. It's partly about getting the right parts, upgrading to the right parts, and playing a lot, right? Mm-hmm. It's always about playing a lot. And so my favorite part is the stages where you go in and you're in a group of 15 players, and I think it resets every 24 hours. So you're grouped in with like players, and you keep adjusting your car, and you keep going in until it gets you up somewhere high. If you're in the top six at the end of that series, then you get to go to the next level, and the next level usually has other types of bodies. And you actually, I've went from the wooden stage, now I'm into the metal stage. It's metal. And so right, so it's this really progressive, obsessive, compulsive behavior game. It's like, I gotta get back on to see what my cats are doing.
What would it have been? I'm trying to think if it was music you were talking about. It would be going from a wood stage to a metal stage. It would be going from like flutes and guitars to like heavy metal. Something about that makes me laugh. I don't know why it's cracking me up.
Like going from something laid back like a Kenny Chesney straight to a Metallica concert.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Bad references. But yeah.
It's also a cool, it's a nice looking game. How do I put this? There's something cool going on with the art style that it's hard for me to explain, but I like it. It looks really
cool. It's kind of like a little bit of Little Big Planet versus like kind of chibi kind of
Yeah, a bit.
Art style. So there's a lot there. At first, when I started playing, I was like, "Ah, this is so dumb. This is so, I'm not winning anything." And I started winning everything. Like, "Hey, I rock. This is the greatest game ever."
Yeah.
And then I started losing everything because I was making all the wrong decisions.
It's amazing.
Get it back under control.
It's amazing when you win a game how that makes you think you like the game more. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is, isn't it? It's like, "Oh, I like this game because I'm good at it."
I do that all the time. If I'm winning. I'm winning.
So this is Cats, C-A-T-S. There's, and if you just look that up, it's Crash Arena Turbo Stars. It's basically putting cats with attitudes in slot car bodies, and you armor them with weapons like battle bots, like missile launchers, lasers. You got like these arms that go round and around, and they'll pick the other cars up and toss them upside down. My favorite part of the game, and also least favorite part, is that it's all quickly timed. So if you're, I think it was within like 10 seconds or so, if someone doesn't win, then from the outer edges of the game comes these two big sanding beast monster things. Like, just, you know, like you ever seen like the sanding block things, like the power sanders. That's what I was looking for.
Power sanders.
Yeah, they start creeping in on you until someone finally gets it right at the end.
Yeah.
But it's a really well balanced game.
My chair is freaking out, so I apologize. Everyone's looking at me like, "Scott, what are you doing? My chair is freaking out."
What are you doing? What are you doing?
What's wrong with this thing? It's suddenly bending way back, and I don't need it to do that.
What is it?
I don't know. It's just a chair thing.
Chair trouble. Maybe those cats are back there causing trouble.
It's annoying. Anyway, all right, there it is. Cats. Catch it. Cats. On mobile, iOS and Android. Today, my final game I will be brief with because it's kind of dumb and I don't know why I'm playing it. But it's called Darkness Rises. It just came out on mobile. I think it's Korean. and the reason I think it's
these
Korean...
These are all bonuses, right? Yes.
Yes. It is a... it's an action RPG, I guess, is what you'd call this. And you make a wizard or a berserker or like a paladin man or a different, you know, these different dudes and ladies, assassin I'm looking at on the screen right now. So you pick between those and then you start playing with them. And basically it's run down through a dungeon and kill a bunch of dudes and then go back to town and upgrade your stuff. What sets it apart is it's very, very, very pretty. Looks console level graphics. It's very nice looking.
Oh yeah, it does.
For a mobile game, it's very impressive. Now I don't know if this is on Android, but I believe so. I believe
it is. I'm installing it now.
Yeah.
Do you know I like the Google Play Store because my phone is over here. It's not hooked to my PC at all. And just click on the install button, and it just installs it for me. I can later look at it.
Yeah, it's not bad. A way to do things.
Stupid iTunes.
Well, you can do that too, but with your, I don't know how you do it. Oh man, what is
that? Oh, anyway.
I just pulled something out of my shoe that I'm not really comfortable with. Look at this. Hold on,
Chad. Oh my god, what is that?
I don't know. I took a big long jog this morning and I think I got some kind of weird wildlife or plant life.
You got a hanger on her. That thing was trying to migrate.
Oh my god.
And now you've killed that.
It does look like
species.
A little alien spore. This thing is gonna go up my anus. All right, I'm throwing that away.
Just waiting for you to fall asleep. I'm just waiting for him to nap.
Anyway. Smoke it, says the chat. No way, dude. I am not smoking that. So it's what you think it is. It's orcs versus men. And what are we gonna do? We're gonna fight a big war, and what's gonna happen? All kinds of stuff. And it's, you know, Lord of the Ringsy kind of ish. And but the gameplay loop is kind of fun. You just go down this place, you kill a bunch of dudes, you use special abilities, it's kind of Diablo-ish that way. It's behind the back, kind of third person. And when you're done and you kill the boss, you get a bunch of gold and you go back and you pay for upgrades on your man. And that's it. That's your game.
You know what? That is really, I mean, let's face it. I mean, that's really all you want from a mobile game. I mean, you want to tap some stuff. You want to think as little as possible. You want little coins to fly up on the screen.
Yeah. You want to see numbers go up. Exactly. Everything. Yeah. You want to see the numbers higher than when you left. Like,
yes.
They're tapping into that basic video game need. that we all get out of this stuff, and that's exactly right. I 100% with you there, and it does.
You don't have to apologize for that basic need thing. I mean, we all like it.
Yeah,
it's the reason why people play that stupid, all those stupid sugar games or whatever, because it's just constant flashing lights and beep, 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 beep. Yeah. What is that sugar game?
Candy Crush. Sugar game.
Candy Crush. Candy Crush. It's called added sugar.
Yeah.
Stomp.
If I have a complaint about it, it's that you can't be a dude or lady version of the classes. If it's a dude, you're a dude. If it's a lady, you're a lady, and that's as good as it gets. I wish I could change to different genders. I think that would be cool. Like, right. I can't be a wizard unless I want to be a girl.
Do you know what kind of programming that involves?
It involves some, but I've seen, you know, I do it in Diablo, I do it in MMOs, I do it in other stuff. They would just have to, you know, dupe stuff. Or, you know what, just make it a man that looks a bit like a lady or something. I don't care.
There you go. And you're done.
Yeah. This is some early footage, and it's a little chop-chop. It's super smooth when I played it, chat room, so I don't know why this is a little choppy, but super smooth. Probably whoever's streaming this thing. Anyway, there it is. That's all I'm going to say about it. It's called Darkness Rises. It is on the App Store and on Google Play now, and it's, like I said, free, and it's got the whole, oh, you want to buy some extra stuff to hurry this up? You can do that, but for the most part, I've been able to play it for free. Brian, what is your final game of the day?
So this game I haven't actually played yet, but it is a game that was recommended to me, and I wanted to recommend it to others. I didn't play it, but I actually did play it for about 5 minutes, but it was enough to see where the game was going, and I definitely want to revisit. Not story-driven. It is Hellbound Survival Mode for PC. It's in the spirit of those 90s first-person shooter games with a healthy dose of Serious Sam. You know, those onslaughts where it's just like constantly coming, and it's like, what is that thing coming over there? Just shoot it. Shoot it. Mm. But it looks
cool.
It's so much fun. It looks really cool, really wicked. And like I said, I played for 5 minutes. It wasn't because I got bored. It was just that, oh, my God, I'm going to come back to this because I could see me wasting. Once again, it's just the little coins popping up like on the screen. It's just this constant shooting of things.
Are you telling me, though, this is just another hour. I don't like waves of enemies. I'm not a big horde right. mode fan. Is that what this is?
So what I played was. Now, if there's more modes, I don't know. But everything I played was just survival. It's just coming at you. And, you know, I thought it was fun because it really gave me a feeling. It made me feel like I was playing those old first-person shooter games.
It looks like Doom. You even got a little Doom guy in the middle.
It does.
A little face
Except
down
it was really just intense. It was just like, ah!
Hmm.
But you don't like that Serious Sam.
Well,
kind of game,
no. I mean, in first-person shooters, it depends. Like Doom, what is Doom if not one of these? Like, it's kind of one of these.
Right.
I'm just not a fan of like constant waves. Like, I want to be able to have, I want to break the gameplay up and have it be more interesting than that. Looks like you can go third person if you want to. That's weird.
There might, yeah, like I said, I've only given it like a few minutes, but what I saw was fantastic fun. And did I mention free?
Oh, no, I didn't hear that part. Was it free?
Free, come on. Well, it's early access game still is free to play, and it's the survival mode. And so I don't know if that means, and I'm hoping it does, Hellbound is going to have something more than just survival mode, maybe some first-person campaign kind of stuff. But so far, like I said, it was a lot of fun.
It's definitely a Doom. I'm getting a Doom vibe off this big time.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, there's some Doomage happening. Okay, you know what? I'm going to try this. This looks all right.
Do it.
What's it called again? Hellbound Survival
Mode. Hellbound. Survival mode.
Graphics are nice.
It's fun.
Yeah, it looks like it's kind of a cool, I don't know what to call this style. This is a different kind of style than I'm used to. I like it, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Seems all right. And you get different weapons and stuff, I assume? Like, you kill a thing and get... I saw.
I did, but not many. I didn't go very far, like I said.
All right.
There was a couple of weapons I grabbed.
Seems very fast, too, which I'm into.
It is very fast.
All right. Well, there you go. Check it out. Get it now. Ladies and gentlemen,
Hellbound Survival Mode.
It's time to play this.
I don't like Steam.
It's Guess My Game. We're going to guess each other's games. That's right. We capture a little audio, and then we play it on the show, and we try to guess what each other brought without too much help from anybody. We don't look at the chat room. We block you guys out, and we don't Google this. We just try to figure it out I'm going to play mine first, Brian. See if you can guess this game. I'll give you an era. This is arcade 80s. Okay? 80s. Okay. I'll play the hell
play
out
the,
of this.
Play the clip.
Had one of these in my basement. Here you go. Any idea yet? Any ideas?
Wow. No idea.
Okay, I'll give you a hint. I'll give you another hint. It rhymes with...
Burger time.
I can't think of a word that rhymes with. It's a game from Nitsanbuchiyu. I can't remember how you say the name of the company.
Oh, yes, Nitsanbuchiyu. No, I don't know.
They used to do... They did Crazy Climber, but their other game was called Frisky Tom. And Frisky Tom was this guy. It. Here's his deal. So his job is to fix the pipes when the rats break the pipes. Right. So if the rats run up around these pipes, there's a whole screen, two-dimensional screen of pipes. And if the rats are up there, they undo the joints of a pipe and throw it down on the ground. And your job at the bottom there is to go grab the joints and then work your way up the pipe stratus thing. And you have to climb it and go different directions or whatever, kind of almost like a maze, but not really. And you get up to where the pipe hole is, and then you bang, 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 and fix the pipe. Now, the reason you got to do this is the water needs to get from the big water tank up top down to the receiving thing because there's this sexy lady that needs to take a bath. Now, if you don't get that done, she's not going to be able to take her bath.
How many bits is that sexy lady?
She is very... It's not going to quite even 8-bit, I'd say. Things are kind of 2-bit then.
Oh, yeah. I'm all into me some 6-bit ladies.
Yeah. So here's what happens. She after you clear a level, she'll take a bath. Now, here's the part I don't understand. And I may have this backwards, but this is what I remember. And I saw some gameplay today, and it seemed like it's what I remember. But if you had a Japanese version of the game, she's buck naked. Video game buck naked. Nice. If you had the American version of the board, it's probably just a dip switch on the board. She had a bikini on. So those were the two versions of the game, and you're
perv,
always like...
not perv.
He's like, ooh, which pervy? Am I going to get the pervy one when you go to the arcade? If you didn't have enough water, her bubbles wouldn't be high enough, so that's when it would start to reveal her. Say.
And you would see all 2 bits of her areola.
Yeah, and by the time, by the time she was done... Or by the time you were done and you'd lost, she just was out of bubbles and completely buck. And we were young enough where we thought, ooh, dude.
Oh, this is hot. I can't see this in the really real world. Actually, I'm looking at some screen captures of on the internets, of course.
Yeah.
And this is disturbing.
Yeah, it can
be. This is like only one level down from the JCPenney catalog of looking at the underwear section.
A little bit. I'd say it's worse. Yeah, it's worse than that. But you got to fix at the core of the game is about fixing these pipes and keeping the water going.
It's not. It's about that naked lady.
That's what we all thought anyway. Now, I'm going to skip ahead chat to this. Here she is right here. Okay. So this is the ship screen. Oh, there she is in her bikini now in Japan. There's no bikini there. She was naked, and so people thought that was super super cool. But yeah, Frisky, literally called Frisky Tom. I don't think it was a very good game. I think it was kind of okay, but I just remember playing the hell out of it back in the day.
They have Bandai had a standalone portable Frisky Tom so I guess they could take it to the to a private area where you could...
Yeah. I bet they did.
You could get all your... Right.
That makes sense. Wow. And by the way, the rats, when they'd fall off, you'd knock them off. They hit the ground, and then they do push-ups, and then they get up again.
Do you really want to see a naked lady who's got that many rats? Maybe she doesn't keep a clean house. I don't know.
It does feel like we have there's an infestation problem here. Yes.
Yeah.
Now, I think this guy's about to lose because he is really sucking it. Okay, get it on to... Dude, climb the other...
Frisky...
This guy's not good. This guy's not good.
And he's not even a cat. I thought he was going to be a cat.
No, he's a dude.
He's Frisky Tom.
He's a dirty man.
He looks like he's from Clockwork Orange or something. Yeah. It's like this weird.
He's a pervy dude, is what he is.
Yeah.
He also doesn't know you can just jump off the edge, and he's a very bad player at this game. All right, let's see what it does. It's going to go to the lady again.
Oh, my.
Oh, rank B. No, we're back to a regular level. Anyway, I played it. I don't know why. Oh, I know why, because my dad had it for the arcades, and we had it in my basement. So,
right. I'm going to go play that Frisky Tom. Mm-hmm. I'll be right back.
Oh, yeah. All right, I'm gonna play yours. I have no ideas what this is. No ideas what Brian brought, but I'm gonna play it. We're gonna figure it out together. Here you go.
Let me see you spin. Ready?
Go! Good driving, honey.
Okay, but don't freak out on me.
Yeah! Yo, amazing!
I don't know what this is.
Let's go!
Yeah, I got it.
Oh, baby! Let's go!
Just shut up and let's roll!
Wait, she said let's go, and he says shut up and let's go.
We're talking about the same thing, except you shut up.
Wait a minute. Okay, give me a hint as to time for this. When's this come out?
Oh, I will give you. So I figured this would be super easy. I'll give you a big hint. This was, if you had a Dreamcast, you would have to have this.
Oh, is this Crazy Taxi?
Yeah, absolutely. Crazy.
What? You know why it's throwing me? Because you don't have any of the music in there. That's what's throwing me.
Yeah, well, that's what I was worried about, because it was one of those modern games.
You're right, because back then if you play the music, you get in trouble, because it's like Offspring and stuff like that, right? Wasn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it was all modern stuff.
Yeah, got to keep them separated. And you'd pick the lady up and take her to the fake McDonald's and all that. I used to love Crazy Taxi. And I played it in the arcade about a month ago. And man, someone needs to get on it over there at Sega Publishing and make a modern day Crazy Taxi game.
They have it for free now. I think you could have picked it up a couple of months ago. Could have got it for the PC for free.
Yeah, but it looks like ass. It looks like poo. I want it to look good.
It does.
No, it's poo. Right. It's ugly.
Did you? Now, a lot of like, oh, did you ever play the Simpsons version of this?
Yeah, I loved it. It was great.
Loved that one as well. I kind of love the whole Crazy Taxi knockoff era, kind of almost as much as I love the stupid cart game era kind of things when South Park had a cart game and all those things. I loved all those stupid
games. It was something about it. And also, I mean, Crazy Taxi in its day just had this frenetic, I know it was mostly an arcade quarter chomper, but it had this frenetic, like, oh my gosh, I've got to get this person to a place. It had this, it's almost like GTA mission just over and over and over. And
you
had to hurry. I don't know. There was something about it. There was an energy to that game that I could not get enough of. So
it was so much fun that I think it was a lot of the dialogue, because it was just like always just, it was just kind of like encouraging it to go to the next level and do the next thing. And even though you hear stupid people like that dialogue we just heard, it was just, I don't know, something about it just,
what they
immersive.
need to make a modernized idea of what Crazy Taxi is. You could even have a story. Right. It doesn't have to be just, well, let's go pick up people and take them. That's part of the gameplay. But just, I think you could take this to the next level and make it something pretty special right now.
Bagheera 74 makes a great point in the chat room. Oh, maybe it looks like JC Calhoun also. It's a couple of people already came to the same conclusion. They need to make this an Uber game.
Oh, so dude. You're
Uber driver.
Yeah. Well, it's the same idea, right? You could just call it crazy, is. Crazy Uber.
But I think you would be the straight man. The people you pick up over the crazies, right?
You know what
you
call it? That would be. You can make a game. Okay, here's the Kickstarter I'm going to support. Somebody make a Kickstarter called Rideshare. That's it.
Yes.
Call it Rideshare. Don't put Uber's name on it because you get in trouble. But call it Rideshare. Have it be exactly what you're saying. Build a little story around it. Make fun of that whole world. Set it in San Francisco where everyone's kind of a butthole. This is a great game idea. I would play this game. Yeah. Okay. Who are you
right
when
now.
You would play
Bring
who,
it?
Who? What guy would you be in Crazy Taxi? I was always the guy with that Gilligan hat, whatever his name was.
I think I was usually the guy with the Gilligan hat.
Yeah.
I think that was who I was. Yeah. Was he just the default character? Because I was usually just like, let's get in and play. I don't care who I'm playing.
I don't remember. I remember the console versions had more stuff in it than the arcade did, but
right.
I remember just liking him. He seemed like a cool cat. So it'd always be that
cool
guy.
Cat with his Gilligan hat on.
Yeah. If you have suggestions as to what we should be trying to stump each other each week with Guess My Game, you can send those in to boopshow@gmail.com, and we will gladly play them. right, it's time for this week's news story. Why porn, that is to say the shortening of pornography, is showing up in Super Mario Odyssey.
What?
Brian, you know what you've been missing in your Super Mario Odyssey? A little bit of porn.
I'm missing a lot of porn in my Super Mario Odyssey.
Yeah, I don't have any either, but here's the deal.
Put a hat on that.
Yeah, put a... It's a Jimmy hat. Some Nintendo Switch owners made an unpleasant discovery this week. Pornographic images are appearing in Super Mario Odyssey on their consoles, the result of a hack that lets Switch owners add and upload custom avatars to their profiles. The hack does not appear to be widespread, but a user on Reddit posted photos of that kind of indecent content on the Nintendo Switch subreddit, warning parents to disable online connectivity for the console. For now, the spread of the porno images appears limited to Super Mario Odyssey and that game's Luigi Balloon World mode, which is a thing in the game that came out later. In Luigi's Balloon World, which was released as a free update earlier this year, players are tasked with hunting down balloons and other players that other players have hidden. The balloons display the online avatar of the person who hid them. Normally, these avatars are limited to harmless images of Nintendo characters and Miis and that sort of thing, but the avatar system got hacked, and now you can put a penis in there.
Look, if you worked hard enough to see a penis in Super Mario Odyssey, then you can see it.
You know,
you've already seen it. I mean, you've already seen it because you got to scout what you're going to put on it, right?
Right. So, I mean, right. You know where else I've seen it a lot in Nintendo games? Splatoon 2.
Yes.
Because you got this ability on your Switch to create basically a cover image, and you draw it on the Switch. So you create like a, or maybe you draw it on a 3DS and it just carries over. I don't remember. But anyway, someplace you can draw this, and you can draw anything you want. So when I go into Splatoon 2, people got these big banner things above their head. Some of them say, just make me a new Pikmin. Or I think Homebound's never coming to America. Or just whatever these dumb things are. But then once in a while, you walk by, there'll be a big couple of boobies. Or some kind of wiener, you know? That happens.
We got such a hang up in this country, especially. We got such a hang up about that kind of stuff. I mean, come on. Is this somebody drew a picture of a penis?
Well,
come on.
Nintendo has like a worldwide problem with this because they don't let this stuff happen. Anyway, there's your news story for the week. And now let's do an email. We got an email from Brian from Denver. Not our Brian. Different Brian.
Not Brian Ibbett?
No, not him. Different Brian. There's lots of Brians in Denver, it turns out. Boopshow@gmail.com is where he sent this email address. Sorry, I'm so stuffy, you guys. Freaking allergies this year are killing me. They're so bad this year. Says, hi, Scott and Brian. Once again, thanks for the entertaining E3 coverage. Even for pressers, I don't really care about. The coverage is always fun. Probably had a better time hearing John's cracks than the presentations themselves. I agree, John was very funny.
I do too, yeah.
I did have a legitimate question, though. Why do you guys put so much emphasis on first-party titles? Except for the shareholders for a company, why does it matter whether a platform has titles that would sway potential buyers? For example, I have an Xbox One and pretty much sits in the Forza camp, which is why I own the console. Aside from that, I play Tomb Raider, Witcher, Red Dead, and except for Forza, a third-party games are all fine with me. I'm probably not the largest gamer, but since I don't play a ton of games, and I'm not swayed by first-party titles, if something neat comes out for PS4, I'm going to be convinced to get one. I'm not going to be convinced to get one. I'd love to hear the rationale over either here or in a future episode of Boop. Thanks, Brian from Denver. Well, Brian, I think you answered your own question. Why did you get an Xbox One?
Here's the question, and here's your answer.
Here's the thing. Why did he get an Xbox One? He's told us here because he's in the Forza camp. He likes Forza a lot, so he got the console that has Forza on it. You literally did the thing that you're asking about. First-party games that you can't get anywhere but there, exclusives on a piece of hardware, is a hardware seller. So if you are like, man, Halo is all I care about, you're going to get an Xbox. If you're like, man, Uncharted is all I care about, or Last of Us 2 or 1 is all I care about, whatever it is, whoever is the platform holder of that exclusive title is where you're going to sway yourself. And yes, you'll still get Tomb Raider, Witcher, Red Dead, and all that other stuff on all these consoles. Those are third-party games. But look what you did. You went to the one with the game series you want the most. You did what you're asking me. That's why we put emphasis on it, because it matters. That's the bottom line for them. They sell more consoles based on exclusivity. They just do.
Right. It asks Microsoft, because they used to focus very heavily on a couple of franchises, and they had a lot of success. And when they decided, well, you know, it's a different world now, we're not going to really be tied down with any one franchise. We're just going to be a console. And it kind of hurt on this generation because that's what people were thinking. It's like, well, I don't have to get an Xbox to have something exclusive. You know, like Forza possibly. But for the most part, you know, there's much more motivation for me to go, I'm going with a PlayStation 4.
Also, listen to them. What they said on stage this year was, look, we just bought five big developers.
Yeah.
That's our way of saying we're investing in first-party titles that you will not be able to get on any other platform. That's huge.
But in a perfect world. But I do know where you're coming from, Brian. Yes, I would prefer it if it was more about the third party titles
but it's not going to be because Sony and Microsoft want to make
as a consumer, I would love to have no exclusivity. Then I would have to worry about it because then I would just buy the box that entertained me the most.
Sure, but it's not a reality we live in. Like Nintendo's entire business is centered around the fact that they have tons of IPs that sell consoles for them. They will never put those on third parties because they want to be the exclusive place you get your Marios, you get your Smash Brothers, you get your Zeldas, you get your Metroids. That's where they want you to be. So I get what you're saying. I totally agree that in a perfect world, yes, in a utopian society, we'd all have a single piece of hardware, like a PC or whatever, and we play all the games on it. I totally get it. But that's why they're in this business, is to draw people to buy their hardware, their platform, their ecosystem, their subscriptions, their games. So, of course, that's why they care. And the reason we care is because they care, and it drives the industry, and we're commentating on the industry. I'm not trying to give Brian a hard time here in Denver. No. I'm just saying, it seems obvious to me.
Now, I play a lot more third-party games than I play AAA titles. But that's me as a gamer.
I play more indie games than anything. I play tons of little games, you know?
Me too.
So, and I'm getting those. I'm so happy about those being everywhere now. That's a great new thing, is that I can get that on a Switch, or I can get it, you know, always. That stuff's always been on PC, but I can get it in other places now. It's great. And I'd like to see that continue. Thanks for the email, Brian from Denver. If you have your own email thoughts, you can send them in to boopshow@gmail.com, boopshow@gmail.com. Or if you prefer, you can head on over to the website, frogpants.com/BOOP, and click the contact link at the top.
Contact.
I think that's going to do it for us. We should get out of here. Hey, anything on the horizon for you this week you're going to try to dig your fingers into? Anything you're going to play?
Actually, I did. I picked up with Steam sale was going on. I picked up a couple of games on my wish list. I picked up the Downward. I don't know if you've seen that yet or not, but it's a game where it's really beautiful looking, but it's basically parkour. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
Well.
You're jumping from platform to platform, and it looks really interesting, and I'm going to try that. Also saw this really good-looking game. Mm. I had never heard it before, but I saw what was on sale. It was not on my wish list. It's called Where the Water Tastes Like Wine. Never heard of it, but it has this incredible art style, and I'm like, okay, I got to try that.
All right.
Don't know anything
about
it.
I'm anxious to see what that
is.
So,
going in blind.
Yeah. I'm going to spend a lot of time in ancient Egypt. I'm going to try a couple of little indie titles that somebody sent me. And we'll be back next week with all that. More coverage right here on The Boop Show. And we hope you guys enjoyed what you got today. That's going to do it for us. Let's see. What else I got to tell people? Oh, the website over there, frogpants.com/boop. If you want to contribute to the show, you can do that over at patreon.com/frogpants. And you can check us out on Twitter, @BoopShow. That's a great place to find out when the show's going live if you want to be here live. Now, those who are sitting here live in the chat room, don't leave yet.
Wait.
I got a stack of giveaways for after the show today. Game
Sit
codes.
Down.
I'm not doing during the recording because that's lame for people at home. But if you're here, stay. Got some stuff to give away. We're going to do some random drawings right after this. Okay? So don't go anywhere. What else? BoopShow.reddit.com is our Reddit page. I believe that's it. Brian, anything else? Am I forgetting anything?
Let's play some video games.
Yeah, I think we should have to play some video games. Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for being here. We'll be back next week. We'll see you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.